Hello, homies, and a very special welcome to Homeopathy Hangout. I get to hang out with my number one homies on my team, the lovely Sarah Scott.
Hi.
And Nicole McConnon.
Hello.
And Yagoda Salevska.
Hi, everyone.
And Ritu Tungri.
Hello, everyone.
And the OG homeopath on my team, Sharon Ralston.
Hello.
So just like last year, we're doing a roundup, end of year roundup for you. This episode's going to go out the 31st of December, I believe. And I just wanted to get the homeopaths on my team together to have a chat about what's been happening with all of them this year. Any exciting things that they have discovered this year, any interesting books they've read, basically just an excuse for us to get together and have a chat. Who wants to go first? Not all at once.
I'll talk. My clinic this year has been full of detoxes, kind of continuing on from last year. There's been lots of requests now. I feel like people are becoming more aware of it. So it's less practitioner driven and more client driven, I found this year, where clients are coming in and they've already got that information and knowledge saying, you know, I had 10 courses of antibiotics before the age of 13 and for recurrent ear infections or UTIs or whatever it was. And, you know, since then I've had lots of antihistamine use or whatever it is. And they're coming in saying, you know, I've had above average use of these medications. And, you know, I'm wondering, is it affecting my gut or is it affecting my histamine response and things like that? So they're coming in now and sort of requesting and to investigate that further and seeing if it's necessary for them, which has been really refreshing because you're not sort of starting from scratch explaining this process now. I'm finding it's becoming more and more popular. And on the flip side of that, I'm finding, because it's becoming more popular, people wanting to detox absolutely everything in their environment and their lives, which I'm not a fan of and I don't advocate. And just trying to find that balance. Like I'm quite passionate about people really getting quiet and comfortable with their body, their system, their mind, their emotions, everything, and listening to themselves and seeing what actually needs treating versus everything needs treating because we don't have that trust in our innate ability to heal and rebalance ourselves. And we don't always need a remedy for everything. So it's kind of finding that balance. There's a lot more people requesting it, which has been lovely. But then on the flip side, more education about just, you know, your body knows how to do this. And sometimes it needs the support of the remedies and other times it doesn't. So I'm finding that a lot this year.
That is just such an incredibly valid point that you've made. And I also just want to say that Sarah's been the one that's been really good with doing all of the Ton Jansen courses. And then she's been feeding some information through to the rest of us as well, which has been really good. And our team has been really amazing this year with catching up every Friday, 9 to 10 a.m. West Australian time. We have our catch-ups where our team get together and we talk about, you know, difficult cases, what we've learned, all these sorts of things. And Sarah, I just have to say thank you, especially to you, for all the feedback that you've been giving us from all the Ton Jansen courses that you've done. And whenever you have like a hot tip, you're like, okay, guys, this is what I've learned. And then we all get to benefit from that, which has been really, really exciting. Does anybody else want to say anything else about seeing people becoming more aware of homeopathy and then wanting to treat everything when it probably doesn't necessarily need to be treated? Have any of you seen that in your clinic as well?
I haven't, especially with the parasites, everyone needing a parasite cleanse. And you had, who was it on who spoke about that on a podcast? It was really good to have them on to help explain that. You know, we actually don't need to get rid of every parasite because there's a lot of good ones as well as, you know, so it was really interesting and good for people to hear that, to not just think because every child and everyone, they just wanted to get everyone in and deparasite or parasite cleanse.
Yeah, that's so true. I'm seeing a lot of that, especially with the chemtrails at the moment. We're having so, I mean, you can call it what you want, chemtrails, contrails, I don't know. There's aeroplanes going through the sky and there's long trails being left behind them. And I'm seeing that even where we are out here in the Wop-Wops, and people being really concerned about that. You can detox every tiny little thing in your environment, but you sometimes also need to just realize that your body, it has got an innate intelligence and it is going to heal itself. What I would say for that one, a little bit of advice. I don't know if any of you have done this. I haven't yet, but I've told lots of people to do it. I'm good at telling other people what to do and then I'll do it myself. But leaving a glass of water outside when you're seeing those things being sprayed and then making a remedy from that water, it's pretty easy to do. So that is something that you can do if you wanted to detox from chemtrails.
Yeah.
And I think just as well with this whole idea of, you know, we don't need to detox or give a remedy for everything, because the idea is we want to be building up the individual's system and building up the individual so that they can withstand their environment. Like, we can't control the environment around us. To a certain extent, we can. We can decide what kind of food we're eating, you know, how organic it is, how local, all that kind of stuff. We can control our emotions and our thoughts about our environment, and a lot of that's going to impact on our health in general. But the things that are happening outside of our control, we have to be able to exist within that if we're going to exist in this wonderful country and this world. And I think there's a lot of education needed for clients to say it's really about building up themselves. So with constitutional care, with miasmatic care, and with really classical treatment as well, so that we can build them up so that we can withstand our environment and thrive in it. And then when necessary, we detox and clear and rebalance those external factors that have come in, because sometimes we need to use a course of antibiotics for something like Eugenie, when you had your appendix out. You know, there are things that happen that we need to go to a doctor and use pharmaceuticals for, and then we have something that we can use to help rebalance the system after it. But the most important thing is bringing that vitality back into the client and making sure that they can withstand their environment.
Exactly. It's very true.
I'll take the lead now. So basically, I think I'll start with a discussion that I had with my son. My son's just about to turn 18, and he was asking me, actually both my children do ask me the logic of homeopathy, because they're in that, you know, stage and age where they're questioning me all the time. And they can see that faith, that, you know, unshakable faith that I have in the system of medicine. And so they do test my patients a lot regularly. So today he was saying that, you know, for example, if you got some dirty water, sewage water, and if you remove the E. coli, we do not get infections. So how do you think that water carries a memory? Because it's not carrying the memory of the E. coli bacteria, is it? Or the pathogenic bacteria. So that's a really good, and I thought that's a really good viewpoint, and the way he is trying to, bring up an argument against that. But I explained to him that, for example, you know, we've got medicines like aconite, belladonna, arsenic album, and they have they've been proved. But if you take them, and if you take it in the raw basic form, and the alkaloids can be very, very harmful to our body in various ways. So what Hahnemann devised, and I think he did start with quinine, what he devised was, so when we actually dilute the medications to a point where their alkaloids are not having the harmful effect, and when we are succusing those medicines, that's when he could see the positive effects, and that's when he could prove all those remedies. So therein came the water memory, and therein we started discussing about how water, so each time also I was telling him, let's say, what a thought in your mind, the water does have a very powerful memory, and Eugenie has done a few podcasts on that as well. So how water does carry a memory of the, of the agent or whatever thought we provide it with, and how it then has a healing effect. So our vector could be water in this case, sometimes alcohol for medicating potency, sometimes the sac-lac, the sugar of milk, anything could be the vector. So that's where I think the discussion is still going on with my son. I still have to bring up a few more points and pull up some quantum physics. So just, that was my discussion, the very fresh, recent discussion that I had with my son. Regarding my cases, I particularly have a lot of interest in allergies and in treating asthma allergies, a lot of seasonal allergies that I think people, especially I live in Melbourne, and a lot of people in Melbourne suffer from pollen issues and so many other things. So I've had quite a few clients this year, and I've seen some really great results. And what I've basically been doing is giving them some constitutional remedies. I've given anti-miasmatic, which could be, it could vary between patients. It could be metronidazole, sorbitol, tivicolanib. It really depends upon the case. And then a lot of acute remedies like, you know, against arsenic, spondria, sambucus, rumex, depending upon what the cases have presented with. Overall, I think the results have been very promising, and I've been really chuffed. My other field of interest is women's ailments like, you know, fibroids or delayed menses and menopause and a lot of issues that young girls are facing these days. And I think the today's teenagers is very different from the teenagers that we had, and the kind of food we were consuming and the kind of environment we were living in. So I am seeing that the teenagers are actually really suffering physically a lot these days, as well as emotionally, for because of all that, you know, all the media and the food they're exposed to. So I think I've seen some promising results with irregular menses, fibroids, cysts, but sometimes one has to be really patient with the treatment overall. The other thing that I've seen, I've just recently spoke to a patient who's been suffering, I think for now the next last 15 years from folliculitis and general genital folliculitis, however you might pronounce it. And she's really, I think I've just treated her for a month now, and she still is getting some pustules there, but she's never had a boil without a pain. So this is the first month in her life in the last 15 years when she's having fewer boils, but painless, and she's a much happier person. And this is within a month of treatment. And I said we have to go through many layers of treatment because this has been going on for many, many years. And so much so that she can't even go for a walk. She cannot wear an underwear because it is so painful and so hurtful to her. So yeah, these have been some of my really good cases over the last, something that I have interest in. There have been others, but we'll discuss about it as we go along today, Eugenie.
That's so cool, Ritu. Actually, do you know, this is really embarrassing, but I have only very recently started using the remedy anthraxinum, which is the anthrax nozode. And, you know, I don't know, hands up, who has remedy bias around here? Do any of you have remedy bias? Was it just me? Yes. But like, sometimes I just have to get... I just have to get my head around prescribing a certain remedy. Like, obviously I know it's energy medicine and all that, but I've just never really looked into the remedy anthraxinum. But recently in my search for a client also with recurrent boils, extremely painful, it's landed her in hospital so many times, I came upon the remedy anthraxinum. And I'm like, it's actually such a great remedy. I need to use it more. And also for infected mosquito bites, because, you know, we have such bad mozzie bites over here, and often they get infected. And we see these clients, we had a photo in our Facebook group just recently, hey, of a child who had a really bad infected bite on the cheek. And actually that remedy anthraxinum would have been so good, but the mum ended up, I think, on antibiotics. But I'm like, that's really a remedy I want to use more, but I just had to jump in and say that.
I just wanted to say on that note, because I was talking to a mentor, one of my seniors, who was like, I was a trainee with the homeopathic physician. And the only advice he said was one has to be very patient with this. And he has been giving anthraxinum for months before he could actually then cure, you know, get uprooted. So really, it's not about a day or two, and it's about sticking to the homeopath and just making sure that you're going through the ups and downs with the physician. And yeah, so that's what his advice was. So it's not just about, we don't sometimes see results, because it's also about seeing the lifestyle, I think, of the client, and seeing what are they actually consuming as well. Because sometimes the fatty food and other things can also just keep aggravating the issue. So yeah, that's what I wanted to say. Yeah,
absolutely. Nicole, what have you been up to this year?
Yeah, so a busy year.
Yeah.
Currently waiting to move into my new clinic. I've just moved from home clinic into a clinic, a podiatrist, not far from where I was as is. But yeah, it's going to be really good because I'm going to be able to offer longer days where I was just doing half days in my home clinic. So they'll be 9 to 6, 2 days a week, and then everything else online. So yeah, looking forward to that. This year I've been busy. I've done a couple of courses. I've done some of the Tan Yanson webinars myself and catching up on some of that. And I also, earlier in the year, I did the Mike Andrews Working with Children with Autism series. And that was really, really interesting. He's a really good homeopath to have worked under or to have done that course with. So he's on a bit of a mission.
I've got his book.
Very good. Yeah. He's a really good guy. That's been interesting. And as we're doing energy medicine, even though I haven't put that out there, I've been attracting children with autism. So which has been quite interesting too. So having some really good results this year with kids. I have one little boy in particular that I can think of off the top of my head now. Mom noticed significant changes and regression after his four-year-old vaccines. It wasn't after the four-year-old ones. It was actually after his 12-month ones. Things started to go back. And I brought him to me when he was four. And yeah, he's doing really well. He, within 4 weeks, significant changes. We're about probably 4 or 5 months into the journey now, and he is doing really well. Like when he first came to me, huge fears around showers, public toilets, wouldn't use the toilet in school, was still using nappies. His speech, he was singing nursery rhymes the whole time he was with me. You could tell that they were nursery rhymes, but they were just in his own little, he was doing it in his own little world. A lot of stimming. And yeah, he's now trying to one word, you know, he's actually using words now as well. Like, so it's really good. He's not afraid of showers anymore. Did I say that about the showers? Mm-hmm. He had a really huge fear of showers, the actual shower head. He would go into the bathroom and was terrified of it. Within 4 weeks of taking the remedy, he was only having showers. So that was a really, really huge thing for his mom. Yeah, so really, really doing very, very well.
It might seem like to a neurotypical family, like being able to take a shower, they might think, whatever, you know, that's not very much. But to these families with children with autism, that is huge. Everything in their life is hard. There's just no part of their day that's easy. So if there's one tiny little bit, like, you know, having a shower without all the drama that goes with it, it makes such a huge difference in their lives. And the privilege to be able to help facilitate that in somebody's life is just immense.
He got much more calmer, and everything. He had been biting his nails and flicking light switches on and off as well. That was another one of his things. That all stopped. He was running off a lot of the time on his mom as well. That stopped. It's been really good. Now, we have hit a little bit of a bump at the moment. He's now gone from being very, although he would at times run away from her, he would always be, you know, he'd know where she was and he'd come back. He's now got quite inquisitive and is big into doors and opening things. So when they're out and about, he's going indoors. And so there's a bit of a fear there for mom, like that he'll just open a door, go in, and, you know, she won't see him or whatnot. So, yeah, but he's really coming on. And he's using the toilet in school.
Wow.
Right.
That's a common symptom with children with autism. They're running away. Hey, I've used the remedy amniotic fluid often for that. Like Ton Janssen's book has a Fighting Fire with Fire, has a bit of info on amniotic fluid there. And it says children with autism who have a need to escape and run very fast. So sometimes that might be good. And etiology could be if there was amniocentesis. I'm trying to think what other etiologies there could be. But I really like the metrodonals anyway. Speaking of metrodonals, Yagoda, you've had some training on that this year with Chokodei in Bali as well. But can you maybe tell our listeners a little bit? Because Yagoda was here just last week. It's so sad to see her there on the other side. She came over for 9 days to our end of year homey hangout party here in Perth, where we had 100 families and their kiddies that came to, we had some homeopathy specials and we had the homeopaths there. And earlier this year, Ritu came to one of our parties, our 200th podcast celebration. And last year, Sarah came. So it was last year's one, hey, Sarah. And then Ritu came to this year's one we had in June. And then Yagoda flew over from Bali for our one that we had in December. But we need to, we'll all see each other in Bali next year. Hey, but we'll talk about that a little bit later. Firstly, Yagoda, what have you been up to this year? How was your trip to Perth? Talk to us about what you do, and please have a chat about the doggy consults as well, because so many people are waking up and wanting not just natural medicine for their families but for their animals as well, and particularly the doggies.
The trip to Perth was really, really exciting and so many things, but the party was like full of moms. I felt a little bit overwhelmed, you know, when you come from Bali and it's so quiet and peaceful here and being surrounded by so many people. But yeah, it was amazing to experience and be part of it. Sharon was there as well. Yeah, it was super busy. Everyone wanted some advice and we were like jumping in between and trying to help everyone. So you were running, Eugenie, like, you know, with all the testing and remedies and serving food at the same time. It was really, really great energy, Bo, great energy, and so lovely to meet all the moms. And Fairy was doing her job so well that the kids didn't want to leave.
The party Fairy, was Fairy Cara is amazing.
So that was great. And yes, Matridonials. I got them sometime, like few years back. I started being interested when I saw a first book. Actually, one of my friends who was translating a book by, I forgot his first name, but the surname was Witter. He's a Swiss homeopath. And that was the first time I came across Matridonials. But here in Bali, there was some webinar, like a daily webinar on Matridonials. And really, I start using them more and more in my practice. And I see they are like a core remedies for many people, like for adults, for kids, because we all had those elements. Yeah, some along the line might be that we missing something during the process of birth, might have happened something, and they can really align us on a deep level. So yes, I'm using Matridonials and also lots of detox, as Sarah said as well, is needed. And even in dogs, as you mentioned, dogs are needing help, but they often also need some detox. Unfortunately, some places require vaccinations, and even when it's just once or twice as a puppies, they might have a long-term side effects. A lot of allergies then might happen in an adult's life of the dog, or unpredicted skin problems or like pomas as well. So yes, treating dogs, it gives a lot of insight as well into how dogs are exposed to the medicines and how many things we can actually do with the homeopathy. We don't need, you know, all of this medical establishment to be put in our lovely doggies. But yeah, learning about that and trying to help dogs with conditions like humans, almost, meaning allergies, detox, skin problems is a big one for sure in dogs. So yeah, what else? yeah, it's a year of change for me a little bit after I came to Bali, and really looking forward to the conference, which is coming next year, but that will be another big event in 2024. So kinesiology is something what I've been using as well more since I'm in Bali, and often surprises me that certain remedies might came up with the testing, because we might see lots of different remedies within the person when we treat acutely or on a constitutional level, and sometimes there is a fine line which one I try first. And I must say that doing a lot of acute consultations, the rate of success increase significantly for me by using kinesiology. And sometimes it might not be the remedy I would think with my mind that would be the first one to try. So yeah, I had an interesting case with a condition which was treated as an acute, but obviously it was going towards chronic state, called bullous pemphigoid, which I never came across before, which was like a big bubbles on the skin with the liquid inside. And within 2 weeks, we managed to actually manage that condition with the remedies which were not really indicated for it in a way. But again, what we do with homeopathy, we individualize treatment. And there was a lot of anger and stress within that person. So going back to the cause and addressing the cause. And when it's emotional, it might be the strongest indication for the remedies. So we really want to go back and see what actually happened before the symptoms started. I find this a lot, that, you know, we tend to have allopathic mind often about, oh yeah, I have catarrh, I have cough, I have this, I have that. But let's stay focused and let's go back. What was going on in your life before all this occurred? Why don't we address the emotional layer, and whatever physical happened after that emotion, or actually sometimes suppressing emotion, then the body will follow. So I always say, if your mind is in a better place, your body will heal by itself, and not necessarily this nitty-gritty of the each physical is needed when we know what's been going on for the patient and we can address individually that core cause, the deep etiology of the problem.
That's beautiful. And Yagura used to use pendulums, but she's become so confident with her kinesiology that she doesn't need pendulums anymore. So she's given her pendulum to me. And while she was here in Perth, she showed me how to use it. And I've always been just a little bit skeptical. I've actually this year realized how skeptical I am of like everything that I do on a daily basis. I'm like, but this Bionetics machine shouldn't work, but this remedy shouldn't work, but this pendulum shouldn't work. And then, you know, so I think it's also important to stay in this constant state of questioning and skepticism and not just take everything at face value, but to question things. So I have Yagura's beautiful pendulum that she's left with me, and I'm going to be practicing and playing with that.
Look forward to watching. You'll have to show us.
I will do. Now, Sharon, the OG homeopath. This is also this year I learned the term OG. My children taught me that means original. The OG homeopath who joined my team in April 2021, because it's been 2.5 years. Or was it 2020? I know it's been 2.5 years, so whoever can do the math.
21, I think. Yes. Okay.
Yeah, that would be right. Yeah, April. What have you been up to this year? And I just have to mention that Sharon and I have both done, like, as you all know, our whole team are passionate about professional development. So we're always doing courses, often different courses, and then we feed each other bits of information. We always have 10 books on the go at the same time. And Sharon and I both did the Center for Homeopathic Education's Master Practitioner course, which was Hilary Dorian, who's trying to go into semi-retirement, handing over the baton to the next generation and handing over all her knowledge. So, and what else have you been up to this year, Sharon?
You know, this year I've actually had a lot of new people to homeopathy, which has been quite fun and exciting, because they often phone and through COVID and suddenly questioning, you know, the jabs. They've suddenly thought, hang on, what have I been doing all these years when I've just gone along and, you know, taken the next load of antibiotics or taken this or looked for pharmaceuticals to fix everything. And they've suddenly realized there's another way. And so it's been quite nice having these mums with their young kids suddenly realizing, oh, there's something else. And to explain, you know, that with fevers, they don't need to just fear them, that fever is there doing something, and how to try and support them through it. And I know exactly, you know, my oldest child, he started getting febrile convulsions at about 13 months old, and it was terrifying. And I just shudder to think of what we did to him, because we just learned to suppress that fever. As soon as we thought it was coming, we had suppositories. We lived in Kenya. We had used suppositories. We'd put Panadol down. So it's honestly this poor child. And he is the least well out of my children. He's fine now as an adult, but when he was growing up, he'd always be the one to catch this, to get that, to have a sore tummy and all of that. And I'm sure it's just because his little immune system got so suppressed when he was younger. But at least, you know, I can explain and say, I hear you. I know how frightening it is, but just sit with them and be quiet, calm. And at least we can give all those homeopathic remedies and to teach them that they're, you know, great remedies to support fevers. And for them, it gets a bit frightening with, I think, the whole group, because they're so gung-ho and they feel absolutely everything, like Sarah was saying, everything needs detoxing, everything needs treating. And like we'll often say, you know, when we have our meetings, like, oh, the things our kids have had to put up with, because we're like, you'll be fine. Just, let me have a look at it later or whatever. They feel probably not heard as much as they should. But what other things have I done? I've had a lot of skin issues, like Yogita's dogs. Mm-hmm. We've had a lot of people with that. But recently have had great results as well with young children with that. I think just also that gut building work, building up their immune systems. And that has been really important for a lot of people, because last year, and I think at the beginning of this year, there were a lot of sick people. They were catching absolutely everything and anything. And after being okay and going, you know, sailing through also, I think, with everyone keeping to themselves, but suddenly everyone being back with, you know, playgroup, daycare, all of those things. We've had a lot of sick children, parents and everything. So just helping support them through getting all of that and remedies to help. Mm-hmm. But that's about it, really. Been a busy year, very busy year, and especially with the courses we've been doing, trying to squeeze those in, and all the new books that we've got to try and find time to read now.
Oh my goodness, it's just never ending, hey? Like, I actually made myself a promise at the start of the year I wouldn't buy any more books and courses until I finish the ones that I have, and I have been just, I've been terrible. I've just, there's so many more books and so many more courses that I just, you know, like half done so many of them. I love that saying, that which is meant for you will not pass you by. And that's my motto at the moment, is when everything's really crazy, it's okay. What the thing that you need right now will not pass you by. So if that course is meant, or if this book, if you're meant to read that book that right now, it will come across your path. I just quickly want to say as well, we have this incredible Facebook group where us homeopaths hang out and give free acute advice. It's only for families in Australia. The reason for that is purely because it becomes an admin nightmare if you open it up to the world. I do not have the resources like the lovely Mary's homeopathy study group, where there's, I don't know, it's probably like 50,000 people there right now. I do not have the resources for that, nor do I wish to do that. I greatly admire her that she does that. So if you're from outside Australia, feel free to go and join that group. Our group is for Australian families only. And I would say out of our group of close to 2,000 now, I'd say maybe 90% are in Perth now, 80% are in Perth, which is really nice. So when we do have our in-person catch-ups, it is really beautiful to get to see all these people in person. Yeah. And it is sometimes a little bit tricky, because Sometimes our mums do want to treat absolutely everything. You know, if their child has been exposed to another child with gastro, you know, it's a post that we see there often. You know, can I give my child a dose of arsenicum as a preventative? My child's been exposed to somebody with hand, foot, and mouth. Can I give the nosode as a preventative? Now, I always try to just put myself in the shoes of these mums of when I was a new mum as well. Now, I've never been an anxious person. It's just not my personality, but what I have to say, when I had a newborn, that brought out probably some level of anxiety in me for the first time in my life, because suddenly, like, you're given this little human and you're like, who gave me this child? Like, and how am I allowed to be left alone with this person? And, you know, am I equipped to look after this little being? So you do start questioning yourself. And so I do try to be gentle, because I, you know, did get worried about things as well. And sometimes, like I always say, give a dose of arsenicum. If your child's been with some kiddies who have had diarrhea and you're worried about that and that's something that causes you anxiety, give them a dose of arsenicum. Just a single dose. It's not going to do anything. If it makes you feel less anxious, then you are more able, in a better headspace, to, you know, to look after your child. Whereas if you don't give it, you're going to feel really anxious. But then after a while, as your children get older and you see that, you know, especially after 1 year, when I managed to keep my son alive for 1 year, I was like, okay, I've got this. He's still alive. Then your confidence grows. And then after a while, you're like, oh, you know, literally, I only gave him belladonna for a fever the first year. I've never given them remedies for fevers ever again after that. Whenever they've had a fever, they just ride it out. And they're so incredible now. My son literally just goes to sleep and he just doesn't want to eat anything. He'll drink something. And I decided to listen to his body. And he's 12 now. And it's the most beautiful thing. He's so in tune with his body and what he needs. And I'll just ask him, you know, Joshy, what do you feel that you need right now? It's like, Mom, I just want to lie down. I just want some bone broth. Or, you know, like, he'll tell me what his body needs. And it's this all we could possibly hope for, hey, because when they're teenagers later on and they get offered drugs and alcohol and things like that, and they're like in tune with their bodies, and they're going to go, actually, this doesn't feel great. Or, you know, well, that's the hope anyway, you know. I know Sharon's laughing because her children are, oh, what?
No, I'm not laughing.
Yeah, adults. And they're like, yeah, you just wait until they're like mid-20s and you'll sing a different story then, because they'll do whatever they want. And Ritu's just on the edge there. Hey, the kiddies are just heading out of school. So, so I'm very aware of the fact that I'm like just very careful of what I'm saying here, because I still have a long way to go. But I think, yeah, there's a very fine line between wanting to treat absolutely everything versus just letting the body run its course. And I think homeopathy is safe enough that you can give a dose here and there that's going to make you feel less anxious, but maybe just go try to, like, we always try to go, what's the reason behind that? What's the reason behind that? And what's the reason behind why you want to treat that particular thing? And if it's coming from a place of anxiety instead of a place of empowerment, then maybe just re-question why you needed to do that, and see if there's other things that you can put in place to not make you feel anxious. But this is, I have to say, ladies, this is where the Allego scan has been life-changing for me. And I know that I have started becoming the Allego scan evangelist. Apparently I'm not allowed to say that I do this. So I don't know. It's, I've had John Gamble on the podcast, who is the Australian license holder for the software, and he's talked about it and he's still okay. So the software is obviously authorized in Europe for as a diagnostic tool for all sorts of illnesses, but in the TGA in Australia have said that we're not allowed to say that we use it. So I don't know. It's very weird. I can't say on social media or anything like that that is something that we do, but basically, we just need your blood, your height, and your weight, and we can do this scan on the palm of your hand, and it tells us what your heavy metal, mineral, and vitamin levels are like. And I have to say, it really has been a game changer in my clinic, and it's been a game changer for my husband and for my kiddies as well, and myself, and just getting a snapshot of what's actually going on in our bodies. And then using John Gamble's various heavy metal chelates to help chelate these heavy metals out of the body, and I found that really, really helpful. So I'm in very early stages at the moment. I've done about 35 scans now, and I'm 6 weeks into doing this. So I'm just a baby Allego scanner, if there's such a thing. But I'm looking forward to doing, like, scanning these clients every 3 to 4 months or so we can see what their heavy metal and mineral levels are like. But it's really given a lot of answers to a lot of clients of mine. The reason I like it is because with hair mineral analysis, it gives you a snapshot of what the body was doing 3 months earlier. Also, if you're a bad excreter, through hair mineral analysis testing, you're not really going to get a true reflection because your body's not able to excrete those metals. So what's showing up in your hair is not really a true reflection. And with a blood test, it's telling you what's coming and going in the venous blood, whereas the oligo scans actually telling you what's in the tissues at this present time. So I really like that.
Well, there's some people who need to see those tests, don't they? Who need to see those figures and numbers to believe, I think, or to understand it. So it is, it's really useful for those people, I think.
Yeah, definitely. And that's that was where my frustration was, that I found people will go to their naturopaths and do all this testing, and then they'll be so compliant because they have something physical in front of them that tells them this and this and this is low. And so I feel with the oligo scan, it's really great because I can say, this is where your levels are at, especially with our children with autism, because most often they have very low zinc and very high copper. And one of the big things that we can do is give a zinc supplement and John Gamble's copper chelate remedy every second day to help chelate the copper so that so body cannot absorb the zinc if there's too much copper. So you're chelating the copper out so the zinc can get into the cells, and then suddenly you see all these beautiful improvements in the cases with autism. So
amazing.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting journey. Like I said, I'm just very much at the start at the moment, but I'm excited about it.
And that is his Healing Chronic Diseases, is it?
Yeah, I think we've all got a copy of his book. Probably lying. Yeah, mine's right here. It's never far from me. And I keep on reading and rereading it because every time I read it, I learn something new from it. It's a great book. And Sharon, I mean, how amazing. And Sarah, how amazing was it to get to meet John Gamble and Naima and Peter Tominello and everybody else at the Brisbane conference in November? Maybe you ladies can talk about that, because I feel I've been talking too long now, but just give us a little rundown of the AHA conference in Brisbane.
Oh, it was fantastic. Especially, I just saw, I've got Naima's little book on her ear infections, and she did her master's in in autism, and spoke about her main feeling of what she causes is paracetamol, Panadol, Nurofen. And that was really interesting. And I think that needs to get out there more, because that's frightening. I mean, she was showing how in America, when the kids go for the jabs, how they're told to give it before, after, every 4 hours, you know, regardless of anything. And she is just saying, you know, how bad that is. And then all the other speakers, Sarah Valentini, I loved Sarah's talk. I love listening to her and all her. I've got quite a few kids who are verging on that PANDAS and PANS side. And, you know, and a lot of people don't know about it. So they just feeling and, you know, that their child could be possessed and don't know what happened, to suddenly have this lovely child suddenly become so angry and upset. And, you know, to see the grief and the trauma in the parents as well. Who else? Oh, for me, Gustavo Bracco. That was just a standout for me, hearing all about the vaccines and his work in Cuba and now in Australia. That was great.
Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Well, all his graphs, those you need to see to be able to understand how incredible, and how they treated all the people in Cuba for leptospirosis in, I can't even remember, was it 2004 or 7? And that people have not been treated since then, and the numbers still have never gone up. And that is amazing. And that's with homeopathic immunization. So,
A tiny bit more context, that Gustavo Bracco is actually a medical immunologist that was working in a vaccine manufacturing facility, a conventional vaccine manufacturing facility, and that the Cuban government ended up using homeopathic immunization because a new vaccine couldn't be produced quick enough when the leptospirosis mutated into a fourth mutation. So they homeopathically immunized 2.3 million people in the areas that were worse off. So the low-lying areas that were most at risk of leptospirosis, those areas had an 84% improvement in symptoms, whereas the areas that were not at risk, that did not receive homeopathic immunization, had a 22% increase.
Yeah. And then they did the rest of the country.
Yeah.
Since then, it's all been good.
It was like 10 million people or something like that in the end. Can you remember the stats?
I think it was 10 million. And to say the original group they did in the countryside area, that was the worst hit. They did those just over 2 million people, and they had them immunized homeopathically in less than a week. Wow. And they had something like a 97% compliance because of the trust that they have there. But it was so fast, and I think it cost them less than a cent per dose to do it. So incredibly cost effective, so time efficient, and just so effective for that community. Yeah, it was really amazing to see it in graphs like that. And we've all heard this story before with through Isaac Golden and your podcast, Eugenie, but to see it in the graphs and have a scientist there showing us the stats and how the process worked and the challenges and how sort of easy it was to implement the homeopathic alternative. It was pretty incredible to see that. I think the whole room was a standing ovation by the end of his 2-day talk. Pretty incredible.
That's it.
That personal story that he told was so good, you know, because they just loaded all these homeopathic remedies in the back of, in fact, I don't think they'd even made them yet. They just got this van, loaded the remedies and the medicating potency in the back of the van, just drove to this area. They arrived there at 1 a.m. in this white unlabeled van. And then Gustavo was saying the police turned up because they had some phone calls from neighbors of this white van that's like parked in their street.
Police and the banging from the
Saccasian. Yeah, and the banging, that's right, from the Saccasian in the back of the van. The police turned up, and when he explained what they were doing, the police were so, you know, grateful, and that they ended up going and supporting Gustavo and his team to actually get the remedies out to all these homes. I mean, I don't think there was a dry eye in sight.
It was even worse than that. They had, after the police turned up the first time and sort of said, okay, yeah, we understand what you're doing, this is great. Then about 2 hours later, the sirens turned up again. The police were back with sirens on, and they were like, oh, what's going on? But it was their truck had broken down on the highway, and then the police now escort or were carrying all the equipment they needed to really get it all going. Yeah, it was right. Brilliant.
I know.
What were some highlights for you, Sarah?
Well, like Sharon said, the speakers were just incredible. It was so great to hear all of them talk, and I learned loads, and it was just, I think for me the big thing was this feel of community and everyone getting together. And I know that's what everyone spoke about for the whole weekend and ever since, just being around each other, having that total freedom to discuss your passion and learn from each other. And it felt like there was a real sense of lifting each other up and being genuinely interested in how everyone else practices and what they're bringing to the table, and a real acceptance of there's different ways of doing it and everyone can bring a unique perspective. So for me, I think I've had this real feeling in this second half of this year of really wanting to support other homeopaths, and this sense of, like, there's just so many new, exciting, young homeopaths coming onto the scene that are doing things so differently with so much energy and enthusiasm. And it's kind of phenomenal watching their growth and how they're transforming the business side of running a clinic and getting the message and help out to the community. So I feel the conference really... I think brought that idea to life, because we were physically with each other and able to just discuss all things homeopathy for 3 days straight, which was pure heaven. But there's this real sense of us all over the world connecting and supporting each other. I've been buying a lot of things from different homeopaths, and people are offering courses and kits and books, and people are just throwing themselves into it. So for me, the conference was just the sort of physical realization of that wider community that is really growing at the moment.
And being able to have a drink with all these people, you know, the speakers, and have that, being able to chit chat, and that was really good fun. And people were generous with saying what was working for them. It was great, you know, to say, oh, this, you know, some people doing consults with four people. And so doing it like a little group, and then that they have each other to talk to in between, and they, the homeopath only checks in once a month. But empowering, I think empowering people to treat themselves.
Yeah, it was, I think one of my highlights was me and Sarah Valentini were up till 2 a.m. like chatting the one night, and my husband's like, you never talk to me till that time in the morning anymore. And I'm like, but because you don't want to talk to me about homeopathy anymore because you're bored of me talking your ear off about it. But yeah, getting to actually meet these people in person was amazing. And yeah, it was really surreal. And getting to see Dr. Isaac Golden and Leia Golden, I mean, they're just such bright sparks with the most incredible energy. And getting to meet Dr. Joe in person, he actually mentored me for a bit after I finished my studies in 2012, 2013. And so helped me on a few tricky cancer cases, actually. So getting to meet him in person, which was very nice. Oh. And I mean, Peter Tominello was just incredible. And yeah, John and Naima. And I actually shouldn't have started naming names because now I'm just like really worried that I might leave somebody off.
And everyone else.
It was, the AHA committee did a really great job. And actually getting to meet some of the faces behind, you know, the one who are doing all this hard work at the AHA.
And Martin and Pleasance. It was so nice to have Martin and Pleasance there.
Oh, my God, yes. And Jerry Dendrinos was just, like, you know, when I hopped off the plane and then Sharon was there and then she's like, oh, and Angela. And then she's like, Jerry is arriving soon. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I get to meet Jerry in person. So that was
Had like a celebrity bus.
Yeah. And then Peter Tominello turned up and then Susanna Sheldon turned up. And then we were like, okay, we're going to have to get a bus now to get to the hotel. We're not going to fit in a car anymore. So that was really cool. But I just want to segue from that into our Bali conference, because I think it was Nicole or Sarah Scott's fault. I can't remember who of you, but one of you teased me in June and said, hey, Eugenie, you should have a conference in Bali. One of you, who was it?
Sarah, I think.
Yeah, made the smart ass comment about, hey, Eugenie, you should organize a conference in Bali. I'm like, okay, I will. And so in September, I did another quick little, because June, my family and I went over to Bali and then made a quick little trip over in September. Caught up with Yaguda and we viewed 5 venues in 48 hours. I literally had a 48 hour trip to Bali because it's only 3.5 hour flight for us. Came back. We found the most incredible venue and the tickets was released last week. So unleashinghomeopathyconference.com. I don't actually know if there's any tickets left. It's quite going to be quite a small intimate event with 60 of us. Colin Griffith is coming, Declan Hammond, Janie Laval is going to do a cacao ceremony. Danitza Apeline is going to do like a homeopathic constellations for us to clear all this scarcity mentality that's always been around homeopathy. Hillary Dorian's there. I'm going to make a confession. My whole driving force behind this whole conference is actually just to get to meet Hillary Dorian in person. So there, I've said it. Yunita Venema is going to come over. And now, once again, I'm like, who else is coming?
Ian Watson.
No, he's not coming anymore. He's had some prior commitments, but he's promised me he'll come for 2025 if we have one then. But it's going to be incredible. And so I managed to get Sarah Valentini on board and Ren Lloyd and Marcus Fernandez to help me organize this. And just the way that it's all come together has actually just been quite magical. And all of you have got your tickets and your flights already Yaguda will be there already waiting for us with open arms, but it's going to be incredible to hang out with all of you in September next year. It's going to be so, so, so fun.
We're all looking forward to it.
Absolutely. Anybody else learn anything else interesting this year?
What about our proving that we did earlier in the year in your clinic with Sally?
Well, how about you tell about that, because they're actually in bloom at the moment. I keep seeing photos everywhere. So you tell us about that, because I don't like when I'm talking too much.
No, it's all good. It was so much fun. So we did this proving over 2 days. There was myself, Eugenie, Sally,
Amy, and Amy,
yeah, and yeah, we all got together in one room, small room, with our little bowls and titrating and what else. And yeah, it was incredible 2 days, wasn't it, Eugenie? We proved the plant, Australian Christmas tree. It's actually West Australian. And I believe Sally is going to have it in the...
It is. It's in the newsletter. And it's called... It's the Nunezia floribunda. Don't I seem fancy now?
Yes. So she's got... Yes, she said she would go with the traditional name. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's flowering at the moment, and it's just exquisite, absolutely exquisite.
So you probably see it out near where you live, or
not where we are. I think Amy said where she was down south, they had it there, but I don't. We might have one or two around here. I haven't physically seen one.
No, I haven't. I haven't.
Oh, on the way to the airport, they're all out.
Okay.
We'll have to try and get a photo and post it so everyone can see.
It was quite a funny one because as we were trading, like, I don't know, we kept on talking about conversations of death, hey, and we kept on, this dumb ways to die was the song that kept on coming up, and we were like kind of joking. And, you know, as you're doing it, you're like, are we just being silly, or is this actually part of the proving? And because it was a blind proving, we had no idea what we were trading. And we could see it was a plant because there was like some little bits of leaves and stuff, but you couldn't really make out what it actually was. And when we found out afterwards, it was the West Australian Christmas tree, which apparently the Noongar Aboriginal people, when they pass away, their souls go and sit in this tree until the next wind or something comes past, which then takes their souls into the afterlife, something along those lines. So it was actually quite interesting that we kept on talking about death so much while we were triturating, and that was, you know, what the substance was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amazing.
That was a really nice little intro, because that was my first ever trituration. I'd done a proving before, but not a trituration. And it was the bit of a journey for me on getting a bit more in touch with my own intuition. And so since then, I've joined Dinitsa Apolline's proving group, and we've done a few more remedies, the mastic gum, the petrified sequoia, the survivor tree. And then I became a little bit braver. I had a really interesting case this year, of a boy who has got autism. He doesn't speak, but he can sing all the words to the Coldplay songs. He's got a few words that he says. He's 15. And one day I was driving my son to tennis, and we were listening to Coldplay music on the way, and suddenly, you know, this boy was in my head, and it's just like kind of mulling over. I'm sure all of you have this all the time, where your clients are just mulling over in your head, and you're just like, what is it about this? What is it about this? And I really believe that, especially with these children with autism, they... the energy of the substance that they need is something that they will embody. So you might have a child that likes to keep hiding under blankets, and they might need like a remedy, like a slater or something like that likes to burrow and hide under things or whatever. And so I'm like, okay, well, this child, I think, is expressing the remedy that he needs. And suddenly I thought, hey, we should make a remedy of Coldplay's music. And I was like, we should play this music into a vial and then like dilute and succuss it. And so I, of course, called the trituration queen, Dinitsa Apolline, left her sent her a voicemail. I'm like, hey, can we do this? But I'm not confident enough to do this by myself. So will you do it with me? And she's like, Eugenie, you're not going to believe what the next remedy is that we're going to prove. I'm like, what? It's the flower of life. Now, anybody who's watching on Rumble, I'm not even going to say the YouTube one because they keep on taking my videos down. But anybody watching on Rumble will see the flower of life behind me, which happens to be the cover of one of Coldplay's albums, A Head Full of Dreams. And so when I told her I'm going to make a remedy of Coldplay's music, she was just blown away because she was busy making the remedy of the flower of life. So we just recently proved the flower of life remedy, which you can get from Dinitsa Apolline, and the remedy made from Coldplay's music. So I haven't given it to this boy yet. I have taken it. There was so many different themes that came out of it. A lot of it was to do with repairing old relationships on all levels, work relationships, intimate relationships, family relationships. So it's probably going to be a good remedy to put in the water bottle at Christmas time and give to everyone. But one of the things that I, as I was triturating, I just thought lactalfenum. This came up in my mind, you know, that fun. And the remedies made me, it's brought out a fun side of me. And my husband said to me the other day, because after we did the proving, I kept on taking the remedy for another week just to see what else it brings up. And he was like, I really like you on this remedy, because I was just a little bit more silly and a little bit more fun. Like the one night at 3 a.m. or whatever time of the night, he went to the bathroom and I was like, And I woke up and I was like, oh, I'm going to hide around the corner and then pinch his bum when he comes past. And I would never normally do that. So I did that. And he just, you know, just pissed himself laughing. And then a few other little just like fun things, because he's very playful and he's so good with the kids. You know, they'll spend all day with him because he's so fun. He's that fun dad. The kids always say daddy fun time, whereas I'm the serious one. And I've just found a little bit more of that fun coming in with that remedy. So hence I've got my Coldplay t-shirt on, because we did get to go to the concert as well. That was in Perth this year.
Eugenie, did the family of that child, did they go too?
They did go as well. Yeah. Oh, so we there's another little part of that story that I did interview a lovely gentleman this year who organized me free tickets. So for me and my family and this, because actually I should backtrack this. I just wasn't sure how much, but I'm sure he won't mind me saying, but I mentioned this to him. I interviewed him on the podcast, and he happens to be friends with Chris Martin. And I said to him, got this boy, can you just tell Chris, I don't know if you like hang out or like have his number, but just tell him that there's this boy in Perth who has all the, he doesn't have any words, but he can sing all the words to all the Coldplay songs. And just tell Chris that his music is making such a huge difference in this child's life. And then Chris messaged this guy back who told me, guess what, Chris has gotten free tickets for you and your family for the amazing work that you're doing and for this boy and his family as well. So it was the most incredible night of my life. And I tell you what, like, I love this podcast so much, as I've met the most amazing people, but it's cost me so much money to produce. I stopped counting at $20,000. I like refuse to count anymore. Like, that's how much it's cost me. But luckily, Martin Fernandez from CHE has come on board and he's paid for some advertising, which has really helped the show so much. Manny Norland from School of Homeopathy has paid for advertising as well. We've had Mel Dupre did a really nice contribution, a very generous contribution to the podcast this year as well. We've had some people that have donated on Buy Me a Coffee and on Patreon. And so anybody who's been out there making a financial contribution, thank you so much, because I think the contributions are probably up to maybe about $6,000 now. So we're not breaking even just yet. It's still a very much a loss leader, but one day it might break even, but that's not what it's about. But anyway, so to have received these free tickets, it was like literally the universe giving me like a little warm cuddle and saying, good job, Eugenie, you deserve this. Just go have fun with your family. And I had the best night of my life. And now I'm going to stop talking about Coldplay, because literally they are my favorite band. I, on my Spotify end of year list, it says that I've listened to Coldplay for 3,980 minutes this year. So, wow. And I'm in the top 0.01% of their listeners on Spotify. I love them so much. So I'm going to stop here, because it might be kind of time for us to wrap up, because I know some of you have got consults after this, but just give us a little like rundown of like your main takeaway from this year, your main thing that you've learned, your main thing that you want to tell our listeners. Who feels like going first?
I will.
Yay! Look at you.
I don't mind. Woo-hoo. Yeah. I'm just thinking of, I'm just going back to the group. And I'm just thinking about like the amount of acute and amount of sick children. I know we mentioned it earlier on in this show, but maybe if people actually think longer term and not just for those acutes, there's been a lot of sick children. My children are 11, 12 and 19 and have rarely been sick this year. Like really, they don't get sick. And I feel that that's down to the constitutional treatment. So while it's great that we have got these remedies to treat acutes, and that's what obviously the group is fantastic for doing, like for people being able to take out those kits and giving their remedies, we've got to think longer term as well, like that we having a consult with a homeopath is really important for building the person up, and you know, for so that they will become less susceptible to picking up all these coughs and colds, and if they have got chronic conditions, that maybe we can help to lessen those things or completely alleviate them as well. That's one thing, and also the importance of follow-ups. People are great for saying committing to coming to see a homeopath. They'll come once and they will do quite well, a lot of them. And then they don't realize that they should have come back like 6 or 8 weeks later, even though you may have told them. And then it could be 3 months, 6 months later, and it's like starting all over again. Where had they come for that? I always say to my clients that very first follow-up is nearly more important than the very first consult, because in the first one, we're just getting to know you. And the second one, we kind of have built up we know a bit about you. We can see where you've gone right or wrong, if the remedy has instigated any changes or not, and if we need to change and whatnot. But I personally think that that second appointment is nearly more important than the very first one, and that it is a bit of a journey. So it's just one of those things that don't just go and see a homeopath once. It's what I'm saying. Like, you have to try and commit to doing it a couple of times, and then you will also learn more about using your remedies acutely as well. So, yeah.
Yeah, those follow-ups, they're so important. And you know what? You're worth it. You're worth it. Like, just invest in your follow-ups. Put some money aside. Put that time aside. It's honestly one of the best things that you can do for your health. And, you know, I always laugh when you do follow-ups with people. And I'm like, oh, okay, have you had any illnesses this last, 6 to 8 weeks since I've seen you? They're like, oh, no, normally I would have been really sick and the whole family had gastro, but I didn't get it. And actually the whole family had flu, but I didn't get it. I'm like, yeah, it's because you're on your remedies that we've prescribed for you. So,
yes.
Yeah, so such a good point. Sarah, have you got some words of wisdom for us?
Well, I was actually going to talk about follow-ups as well. It's obviously the theme at the moment. I've had so many clients recently that when they come back for their follow-up, I think it's a really good sign how well the homeopathy works, that they are can be pushing out their follow-ups or forgetting to book in follow-ups. Because if a problem isn't in your face anymore, yes, then you don't see the need to be treating it. So it's often a really good sign, a really positive sign, that the follow-up is less important to the client. It's so important to us. It is so important to the client, but they may not realize the importance of it. And just what the two of you were just saying just now, when the client comes back in and, you know, we've got our little list of their original complaints and of their main reason, you know, I always start my client, consults off, what's your, in your words now, what are your main reasons wanting to support with homeopathy? So I have my little list. When we come back for the follow-up, I sort of go through the list. I say, how's this? They're like, oh God, I don't remember having that. And they've had it for 12 years or something. They're like, oh, I don't think that was me. And you're just like, this is brilliant. Great. Let's move on to the next stage. But that's why they need to come back for the follow-ups. Because I think when you're in life and you're just going through the motions of, you know, you're busy, you've got kids, you've got work, you've got whatever's going on in your life. Life is very busy for people. You can forget what you were like 4 weeks ago, 6 weeks ago. You can forget the state that you presented initially, which is fantastic. We would love all our clients to forget the pain and discomfort and imbalance and disease that they've had and be in a much better place. That's great. When you come back, we can sort of offer you that mirror and show you, this is where you were, this is now where you are, and where do you want to get to? Like, there's still loads of work that we could do. Some people are completely better after one consult. Fantastic. Majority of people need to be there for treatment, you know, ongoing, so that when things do come up, they're able to treat it quickly so it doesn't become this long chronic condition, and you can treat it much quicker and they can bounce back much faster. So, yeah, I just wanted to mention as well the importance of follow-ups for your own health journey and your own education about homeopathy. I think all of us here are very passionate about empowering our clients to become their own healers and not to be reliant on us. We're facilitators for this journey, but we have, you know, the sort of expertise and the knowledge, and we've done all these courses that we continually do. And we're reading all the books for you, but we want to empower the client to be able to treat themselves, to be able to acutely treat their family, and not to need to rely on us for all of those things. And we're always here, but We want people to be self-sufficient as much as possible, so then we can get into the really chronic, deep-seated things, where we can go into the past. We can look at all the predispositions they have, the ancestral trauma stuff, all the things that they have brought in. And I also, just on that, I've been looking at miasms a little bit differently this year. I think there's always this negative connotation that it's our predisposition to disease, and, you know, what are the kind of things we're going to express in our lives based on our environment and what that can trigger. But it was that podcast, Sharon, that you were talking about earlier, and I'm sorry, I've forgotten the name of the lady who was talking about it, but how we can get information from an exposure to a bacteria or a parasite, and it'll sort of ignite information within our system. And it just got me thinking about how miasms are bringing in this wisdom from our past as well. It's not just a negative, it's not really a negative at all, it just is. And with that comes all this knowledge from our past that our ancestors have survived certain ailments and environmental conditions. And it's a gift that we can utilize for our present and for the future generations as well. So it's just, it's a little bit of a different twist on it. I think when we were in college, we were always taught of miasms as these big scary things that needed to be fixed, whereas actually it's almost like a roadmap of where you've come from, where you are, and potentially where you're going to go in the future with your health. So it can be also things that will suit you, not just things that have worked against you. So that's something I've been thinking about recently. But last message to everyone is just have a fabulous break. If you're having one, I hope you are having one. It's been such a great year for homeopathy. I've been so excited working alongside these beautiful women, and I can't wait for 2024.
Ritu, well done, Sarah. What would you like to share with us?
My quick a couple of 2 cents. First of all, I must say that we've got a beautiful team, and we've got such a lovely underlying thread of sharing and giving, and such a positive energy in this team. So I think it keeps us all going. And I want to thank Eugenie and all our team members, Sarah and Sharon and Nicole and Jagoda. And I mean, it's been such a pleasure. I've joined you all this year, but I really enjoy every moment of it. And sometimes I'm not available on Friday meetings, but I do miss it a lot. And I hope that I'm able to make up to the meetings next year. Hopefully, that's one thing. The couple of things, well, actually, I've been delving a bit into agro homeopathy, which is slightly shifting the whole scheme of things. But more importantly, not because I'm a botanist at all, and I'm still trying to learn with my plants, but because my roses have been really affected, and I've got my rose, and they were doing really well last year, but I saw that, you know, a couple of them were infected by aphids. And I made a remedy on my remedy maker machine with aphids. That didn't really work, so I wasn't very sure. But then I made one with the ladybird, because ladybird is a predator of aphids. I think that did work. And then I topped it up with Tudra as well. I read a few things about it. But that meant that I could get rid of the aphids on my roses. That's number one. The other thing that now I'm dealing with very recently, I've got some fungus on one of my rose plants. I don't know why this is happening, but the weather is changing. And so I've tried sulfur. Well, I hope it works. But homeopathy has such a wide range of uses. So it's beautiful. I hope I'm able to at least look after my plants that way. And I believe that Silesia is a very good, because it's made from sand, it's one of the best nutrients that all plants can generally have. So that's my tip. And yes, as we've all been talking about miasms and follow-ups, I think miasms is, I think they all carry a lot of good ancestral bits and ancestral trauma from generations. So miasm is a way of clearing that up. So anti-miasmatic remedies that we give is a way of clearing up all the baggage that we carry, and it works. It's like, I think it's a magic wand that homeopathy has. That's one thing. And also regards follow-up, as we've all mentioned, I think the only things I feel that sometimes clients are not aware that we have got so many things in our big, you know, drawers of or sets of homeopathy, that there's not just one. The first consult that you have doesn't mean that that's the only remedy we have in our in our kids. There's a huge range, but many times what happens is that the clients, it takes time to understand a person about the history, about their, you know, what they've gone through, their past, their, it could be delivery, it could be anything. So there are so many remedies, so many beautiful remedies, but yeah, follow-up just help us to decide where we are at. So that's not the only thing that we have in our kit. So please be rest assured, homeopathy is, I think, wonderful.
I know.
Amazing.
You know, Ritu, I also had aphids on my roses and this was at my house, so I didn't have any of a whole heap of remedies. I've got a lot, but I didn't have the ladybird, and I just did the silica, and I came back from my holiday and my rose bush was beautiful. I was blown away. So just by improving the soil and the plants and everything, it managed to, I don't know where the aphids went, but I'm not too worried. My neighbors probably were complaining.
Did they fly into their house?
Yeah, and exactly. Well, you
know, Camilla, she reckons Simis a fuga for aphids on roses, hey? In her podcast, she said that. And this is why I love our meet, because this is what our meetings sound like, right? One of us says something and then one's like, oh, I heard about this. And so we're always bouncing off each other, which is why it's just so much better in a group. Sorry, exactly. Sharon, keep going.
Everyone just have a fabulous, safe Christmas and all the rest, and just, be gentle and kind to yourselves, I think, because Christmas is a hard time. We need good remedies to remember. It's a tough time for many people when there's been a death in the family, or, you know, when it's that first Christmas, that second Christmas, whatever. It's always a tough time for many people as well. So I think that's a good time to remember your Ignatia and Natmure remedies to help support through that, and just to take the time out and enjoy it. I remember seeing something recently that when you were a child, when you look back, it wasn't about, you won't remember the presents you specifically got. It was just about the fun time that was had, and so all the good food and the people being together. So that's a good one. Anyway, on to you, Yagada. What do you like to do for Christmas? In Bali, celebrate?
That will be very much not Christmas here. I mean, like, I will go for some dinner with friends, but the spirit here is that they celebrate all the religions, but obviously it feels different, in tropical islands. So, yeah, and the Nux Vomica, it came to mind when you were saying about all the indulgence you can do during the Christmas, which I wish everyone is going to be doing this festive season. Because we all trying to stay in balance within the year. But, you know, Christmas time is Christmas time. We can be healthy and in that path of healing, we can allow ourselves a little bit of everything, no? A little bit of things we enjoy and maybe go a little bit off balance. So then we can actually see how strong our body is to bounce back, no? So, just to say that I'm really grateful to be part of the team. I've just been literally 2 months, no, on the team, so really 2.5 months, now, and really, really grateful for that, and learning a lot from you, all of you, and thank you for that, and looking forward to meet some of all of you in next year in Bali, but we will talk so many times before that, so feels like I know you already. Met Eugenie and Sharon, but great for that. And all the best for everyone for the next year. Thank you.
Well, we are just so blessed and so lucky to have each other. And I hope this conversation inspires the homeopaths that are listening as well, that, you know, team up with another homie, and it's just so much more fun when you get to do it together. Like, we have the brain power of 6 professional homeopaths on our team. And I just want to put a little something here as well, that I know that I've got the big mouth around here, so people tend to know my name a little bit more because I'm a bit louder and make a bit more noise online and everywhere else. So often people, you know, they reach out from all over the world and they want to have a booking with me. And then I say to them, I'm really sorry, my books are closed. And I'm like, I'm really sorry, I can't, because it's just not fair for my current clients. And then I tell them, go book with one of the homeopaths on my team. And they're like, no, I want to book with you because I've resonated with you. And I kind of get that. But I just wish people could understand that between Sharon, Yagoda, Sarah, Nicole, and Ritu, you've got the most unbelievable team of homeopaths that you could be booking with. Each of them offer a 15-minute free consultation. So, you know, go and do a 15-minute free consult, a free phone chat with them. And just see who you resonate with, because that's what homeopathy is about. And you might think that you resonate with me, but seriously, go have a chat with these other ladies. We all have a slightly different way of doing it. We kind of practice mostly the same, but then we all have our slightly different flavor and areas of expertise. You know, Ritu is the queen of biology. So, you know, like she really understands how the body works and she's got a degree in it. So, and she's written a book on homeopathy and she, you know, has graduated 20 years ago and she's got all this knowledge over the years. And Nicole, I don't know if we can mention, but Nicole's gone through some pretty unspeakable grief. And she has as well as having an incredible passion for children. And I just think that if that's the kind of consult that you need, like she really is going to be your gal. Sarah's sister is a midwife and she wanted to be a midwife herself. And she has incredible knowledge on the perinatal period. And she's also recently done a hypnotherapy course and all sorts of other skills. So, you know, if like have a chat with Sarah because she's got an incredible skill set that you should draw on. Yagoda's got the extra advantage of having excellent availability with acutes and then the kinesiology, because it doesn't matter where in the world you are, because she can use kinesiology to just test which the remedies are correct. And I've seen several of my clients to her for acutes when I've just been too booked up and I can't do the acutes, which is really sad because I would like to be able to, but knowing that I've got Yagoda there and my clients are in such safe hands has been amazing. And if I send a client to one of the other homeopaths in the team, I don't go and ask, oh, what did that homeopath do? Because I trust everyone on my team. They wouldn't be on my team if I didn't trust them. But because these clients will email me back and they'll say, I really love my appointment with Yagoda, or with Sharon, or with Sarah, or with Nicole, or with Ritu. They will just spontaneously come and tell me. And I'm like, yeah, obviously they're on my team. So obviously they had a great consult. But it's been great, the acutes that I've referred to. And it's also for the dogs, Yagoda. Yagoda prescribed a remedy for my dog as well, because our female dog we've had some issues with. So that's been good. And Sharon, you know, that you've got that added advantage of your kids just being that bit older, they're mid-20s now, so I just feel that you have that wider scope. You can see that bigger picture, like the eagle soaring in the skies, that's got that big picture view of exactly, you know, what's gonna happen. And you can say to these mamas with little babies, your kid's gonna be okay, I've been there, I've done that, I've been through all the stages, you gotta be all right. So each of us have a slightly different flavor. So I just want to say, you know, we've got this incredible thing of doing a 15-minute free consult. Just book a free consult, have a chat with these incredible humans who I hand selected because I freaking love them so much and admire them and learn so much from them. Have a chat with each of them, see who you resonate with, and find that homeopath that really, you know, is the one that works for you. So I like how you put your hand up like a good student, Ritu.
I just wanted to add that we all resonate with you.
Yeah. No, well, so, do you know what? Luckily, yeah. Not everyone does resonate with me, because that wouldn't be a good thing either. Like you want, I like that saying, if you try to please everybody, you'll please nobody. And I am totally okay with the fact that some people probably hate my guts and probably don't want anything to do with me. And that's great, because you need, like, we need little bits of everything, little bits of everyone. We've all got different ways of doing things, different ways of case taking. Like I actually think I'm a little bit scattered because I definitely have a bit more of an ADHD type brain. So I sometimes think my clients must be like, what the hell? Because I'm like asking them a question, they're telling me these things. And then I like shove a chart in front of them with colors and I make them choose a color. And then, you know, so whereas I know the rest of you are more methodical. So you'd be like just sitting there, like just listening and listening, you know, so I'm not everyone's cup of tea, nor do I wish to be. And we all had different styles of prescribing. And actually I sent somebody recently to Yagoda because this particular patient is really into yoga and meditation and all that sort of stuff, and I'm like, you have to go see Yagoda because she does all those stuff, you will vibe so hard with her. And so it's not like, you know, just go and have a chat with these incredible beautiful women on my team who are so caring, who, you know, will do anything to help you and who are working so hard on continually doing professional development.
Oh, well, Eugenie, thank you, because honestly, we all love being dragged along for the ride.
Kicking and screaming.
No, not kicking and screaming. No. We're all quite fine and happy, but your energy is ridiculous.
Exactly. We all want a little bit of that, whatever. We're not quite sure what it is that you're on, but like, yeah.
The remedy,
yeah,
cold
bit of that. Yeah.
To all of you. I'm not going to lie. I'm fading a little bit. This year was a little bit rough. A month ago, my family had an intervention with me. Literally, my husband and the two kids sat me down and they're like, you cannot keep working this hard. So I have made a deal with them that from 6 p.m. onwards, the phone and the laptop goes away, because it just was there the whole night. So that's not happening next year. Yeah.
That's good. We'll see how long it lasts.
Yeah, I know. I say that too.
Anna, you should.
Well, ladies, I love each and every one of you so much. Thank you for being part of this wild ride. And thank you for all your support in our beautiful Facebook group and helping us to create such an incredible community. And all the best for you for the new year.
Thank you.
Thank you. Have a lovely Christmas. Take care.
Thank you.